All right. Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here, to be able to share some thoughts with you from the Word of God. I'm hopeful that everybody can hear me. Got the microphone set up here. I see the hands being raised. So fantastic. I hope that by the grace of God, the thoughts shared tonight will be a blessing and a great reminder for each of us, myself included. I know they were for me while I was preparing. But before I go on, a little announcement, something to praise God about. I'm an uncle again. My sister gave birth last night to a healthy 8-pound baby boy. John Lewis Dawson is his name. And both mom and baby are doing fantastic. So praise the Lord. Baby number 3 for them. So that's great. Baby number 3. So that's fantastic. Anyway, tonight I'm going to share some thoughts from a very, very familiar psalm. Perhaps one of the most well-known of the Psalms. And my hope tonight is that we will all be reminded just how great and loving our God is. So if you have a Bible with you, could you please turn with me to Psalm 23? And we're going to read the whole thing. And as I read these words, let's think about what these words are saying and the promises that the Lord has made to us in this Psalm. Psalm 23, verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We'll end their reading there. But before we continue, let's just go before the Lord in prayer once again. Father in heaven, in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Father, truly we are thankful that you are a fount of every blessing. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord God. Though we are so prone to wander like sheep that go astray, yet you, the great and all-gracious shepherd, go after us. You run after us whenever we escape to bring us back into the flock, Father. Father, we thank you that our great shepherd, our good shepherd, came to this world. He left glory, veiled his glory, and came to this world and walked among us and went to that cross and died there, shedding his precious blood for our sins. He truly is the good shepherd who gives his life for us, his sheep, Lord God. Father, I pray now as we gather virtually like this from different parts of PEI and maybe different parts of Canada as well, I pray that we would all be encouraged and reminded of just how great you are, how you are a good Father, how you are a great and awesome God, and how you loved us with an everlasting love that goes beyond all understanding. I pray that we be reminded of how much you love us through the thoughts that will be shared this evening, and that your Son's name would be lifted up and exalted and glorified through what will be shared tonight. So I pray that you would bless our time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So tonight, by the grace of God, we're going to go through this psalm verse by verse and hopefully, again, be reminded of some of the promises that God has made to us in these words. But before we dive in, a good title to give to this psalm would have to be basically The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Now, you won't find that exact phrase, Good Shepherd, anywhere in these verses. But after you read this psalm, it makes perfect sense. Because we definitely see tons of evidence here of not just a common, average shepherd, much less a bad one, far from that. No, these verses paint the picture of a good shepherd, no question. And what's neat is that this title, The Good Shepherd, also has connections to other parts of Scripture, which we'll be reminded of later. But with that title in mind, The Good Shepherd, let's dive into this psalm and look at verse 1 for a bit. So verse 1 again, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So in that very first phrase, a psalm of David, we're given some context here. We're told that King David himself, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he wrote this psalm. And this is very important because one thing we know about David from the book of 1 Samuel is that he himself was a shepherd for years before he became king of Israel. And I can't help but wonder if, as David was writing this psalm, if he was drawing on his own experiences as a shepherd of Jesse's flock. And how all the things he himself did as a shepherd reminded him of his relationship with God. And of how, while David was the shepherd of his own sheep, as far as the Lord is concerned, David himself was the sheep, and the Lord was the shepherd. I mean, today, we see God as our Father because there are things that he does that remind us of that. And of course, ultimately, he's called that in the scriptures. We also see him as our Savior because of things that he has done and because he was called that in the scriptures too. And the list goes on. The Lord's been called our King, the Light, the Holy One of Israel, and so on. But here in Psalm 23, David points out that the Lord can also be called a shepherd. But not just a shepherd, is it? Just like the next phrase of the verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd," David says. My shepherd. It's personal. It's very personal. The Lord is David's shepherd. It's a one-on-one relationship here. And again, the words of this psalm are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this truth in verse 1 is not just applicable to David. It's applicable to anyone who is a child of God. And that includes you and me tonight as we gather here. He is your own personal shepherd. He is my own personal shepherd. He has a relationship with you, and he has a relationship with me. And we may be gathered together virtually as a group like this, but all of us who believe are sheep in the flock of God. But the Lord still has a personal one-on-one relationship with each and every one of us here tonight who believe. Much like it was one-on-one with David, it is one-on-one with you and with me. So truly, if you're a child of God tonight by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can say boldly, with confidence and humility, "The Lord God is my shepherd." Not an angel is my shepherd. Not another person is my shepherd. No, the Lord himself, the one who made you, created you, fashioned you, knew you before you even existed, he is your shepherd. And look at the tense of this verse. It's not past or future. It is present right now. It's not that the Lord will be your shepherd, or that he has already been your shepherd and is not anymore. He is right at this very moment your shepherd. And even a few seconds after I've just said that, he's still your shepherd. No matter what background you are, what race, what level you are at work or at school, if you believe, the Lord God is your shepherd and he always will be. Now let's think about what a good shepherd is or what he does for a moment briefly. And we're going to dive into this in more detail soon. But some good things that a good shepherd does would be these. He watches over you. He protects you. He knows, sees, and understands things that you do not. He is bigger, taller, stronger than you are. And he sees things far differently than you do. A man sees things very differently than a sheep does, just like the Lord sees things very differently than you and I do as humans. A shepherd can do things that a sheep cannot. He has knowledge, abilities, and strengths that a sheep does not. And yet, even though the Lord is so much bigger and he can do things that we cannot, and he sees things differently than we do, and yet, no matter how many times we stumble or get hurt as sheep, we the sheep are still the main focus of his work as a shepherd. And indeed, because the Lord is my shepherd and your shepherd, then that leads to that last awesome phrase of verse 1, "I shall not want." In other words, I lack nothing. I will never be in need, as another translation puts it. Why? Well, it's not because you're a good, smart, and capable sheep and you know how to take care of yourself. No, the phrase "I shall not want" is true only because Yahweh, the Lord God himself, is your shepherd. And again, he's a good shepherd. He's not some shepherd who doesn't care or has no idea what he's doing. He's a good one, a great one. And because of that, you as the sheep and I as the sheep, we will never be in need. We will never lack anything that we need. And as a believer tonight, let yourself be reminded by this promise that the Lord knows how to watch over you, to take care of you, to provide for your needs. Even in these crazy times we're in right now, the Lord has not changed. He is still the same God today that he was prior to COVID, and he will be the same God after this whole COVID thing blows over. And he is the same God today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what's also amazing about verse 1 is that it can be applied to each member of the Godhead. All three persons of the Trinity can and do indeed fulfill the promises here. Number 1, God the Father is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Matthew 6 and verses 32 to 33 says this, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Number 2, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my shepherd, so I shall not want. John chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." John chapter 6 and verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst." And FYI, I really love how both food and water are mentioned here as far as Jesus is concerned, because this will tie right into the next few verses in this psalm, as we're going to see shortly. But quickly, number 3, God the Holy Spirit is my shepherd, and I shall not want. John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you." How incredible is this? Each member of the Trinity works in harmony here and throughout the whole scriptures, and each one fulfills that simple yet so powerful promise of this verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want." Well, we spent a good chunk of time on verse 1, so we got 5 more to go. So by the grace of God, we'll finish this psalm tonight, hopefully. But before we go on, if I was to give this psalm an outline, it would go something like this, but we're going to go through it section by section. So the title again for this psalm, "The Good Shepherd." And if I was to break down this psalm into sections and give a title for each section, verse 1 would be its own section, for me at least. And a title that I would give it would be "Who the Good Shepherd Is." So the title of the psalm is "The Good Shepherd," and verse 1 is its own section. And the title I'd give to that would be "Who He Is." And now as we move on, we come to the next section, which I feel is verses 2 and 3 together. And what's neat is that we just read the verses in John's gospel, which talk about how the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life and the living water. He's the food and the drink that gives us life. And now let's look at verse 2 in Psalm 23. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Now, what's really neat here is that the Hebrew word used for pasture also translates to home. So according to this verse, the Lord makes me and he makes you lie down and rest in a place that he has prepared for you as a home. And in this home, there's also more than enough to satisfy us. In a pasture, there's usually far more than enough green grass to feed a sheep. There's tons of grass there. More than enough to satisfy a sheep. Just like the Lord has everything that you and I need to live and be satisfied in this life too. And he's promised in this, and as he's promised in the scriptures, he's definitely more than capable of providing more than enough food for you and I in this life, physical or spiritual, if we trust in him. He has everything that we need to be satisfied. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. "If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So he has everything we need to satisfy us. And I also love how it says here that he makes me lie down. Speaking from experience, there are times when I do not want to be still and know that he is God. I want to rush forward, do everything on my own strength, and be very, very self-reliant. Or for that matter, on the flip side, there are times when I think circumstances will never let me rest. But yet, the Lord makes it happen. He gives rest to the weary. And many times he calls us to be still and know that he is God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he promises. So praise God that there are times when he makes us lie down and just be still and know that he's God, because there is what's going on is beyond our control, but we can trust in him just the same. What's also neat here is that he doesn't merely make you and I lie down in dead or barren pastures. He makes you and I lie down in green pastures, it says here. A sheep needs good green grass to live, and there's always plenty in the pasture. And the Lord never does a bad work. He always does a perfect work. And any pasture that he will lead you or I to is a perfect one. It is green, it is healthy, it is alive, it is living. So I mentioned that the Lord, another word for pastures, from the Hebrew word is home. I talked a bit about in this life, but you know, this verse also gives us a great reminder of a promise that the Lord Jesus has made to you and I who believe in him as far as eternity is concerned. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, the Lord can satisfy our needs in this life if we trust in him and in his timing. But the promises in this verse will especially be fulfilled whenever we get to eternity. Because if you believe in him, there is a home for you there as well. Next phrase of verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. Not only does he provide food and rest and a home for his sheep, he provides drink as well. Sheep don't just need food. They need water to survive too. And a good shepherd always knows where the nearest water supply is and how to lead and guide his sheep to it. And the Lord is our good shepherd. He does this, just that, and more. And not only that, the water he leads us to, it is still. It is calm. It is peaceful. It is at rest. It's not a raging storm or a whirlpool or rapids. And if it is, when we first get there, then he can and will calm it. The Lord can calm the storm. The good shepherd knows how to calm the troubled waters and make them still in order for his sheep to drink from them. And we need no further reminder of that than when Christ himself calmed a storm in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 39. And what did he say when he did that? Peace, be still. How neat is it that the word still is used in both Psalm 23 and when the Lord Jesus spoke and calmed the storm in Mark chapter 4. So many connections in the scriptures. Verse 2 in mind, now we come to verse 3. We're making our way through. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's look at the first phrase of this verse for a minute. He restores my soul. Have you ever felt tired or weary? Given everything that's going on right now, for example. We just looked at how the good shepherd can provide food and water for his sheep. And what's also amazing is that as a member of the flock of God, you will never lack any resources for strength or power that you need to keep just to keep moving forward. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord gives strength whenever you are weary. He restores my soul and he restores your soul. And another truth of this phrase, he restores my soul, is that because the Lord is your shepherd, that means he literally did restore your soul and bring it back to life again at one time. Because in order for him to be your good shepherd, that means that there must have been a time in your life when he brought eternal restoration to your lost and dead soul. When you confessed your sins, repented, and put your faith and trust in what Christ did for you on that cross. So in the past, he restored your soul by bringing you to life again, once and for all, and praise his name for that. But now also in the present, as we go on, he will continually restore or give life to your soul day by day, whenever you need it, to run the race and press on towards the finish, keeping your eyes upon Christ. And speaking of running the race, living for him, going forward for him, what else does the good shepherd do in this verse? He does the second phrase in verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you ever need to know the difference between right and wrong, or truth and lies, or what's of God and what's not, well then as your good shepherd, the Lord will guide you and teach you and show you what is right, show you what is true, show you what is of him and what he wills for your life. So after you're restored and you become a believer, then he will walk with you and lead you as you go through this life as a believer. And he will shape you, conform you, and mold you more and more and more into the image of his son, Jesus. So he not only shows you what is right, he leads you in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. So that way when people look at you as a believer and they see your life, that you have joy, for example, that you have joy or peace in times when everyone else of the world would expect you not to, then they will marvel and glorify your Father who is in heaven. They will see a peace in you that surpasses all understanding. And they will think, there's something different about this person. So truly, as the good shepherd, he will show you the right path and how to walk it if you trust in him and go before him. And how does he do that? Through his word. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He'll lead you in the paths of righteousness and show you what those paths of righteousness are through his word. By you spending time in his word, reading his word, meditating upon it. So that's the end of verse 3. Which also brings us to the end of the second section of this psalm. And if I was to give this section a title, it would be What the Good Shepherd Does When Times Are Good. So again, title, The Good Shepherd. Verse 1, who he is. Verses 2 to 3, what he does when times are good. And now moving on, third section of this psalm. And I think this covers verses 4 to 5. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the tone of this psalm seems to have changed a bit as we move from verses 3 to 4, because up till verse 3, it seemed like things were going pretty good. But now as we look at verses 4 and verse 5, it looks like things have gotten a bit dark and intense maybe. I found it interesting how the wording of the psalm has changed at this point. Note how the good shepherd is referred to as he in verses 2 to 3, and then from verses 4 to 5, he's referred to as you. And I can't help but wonder, personally, if this change is because the sheep is clinging even more to the good shepherd because the times are dark. Therefore, the relationship between shepherd and sheep has gotten even more personal because times are dark now. So instead of he, it is you. Maybe. But regardless, spoiler alert, the title I would give to this third section, which includes verses 4 and 5, would be what the good shepherd does in hard times. What he does in hard times. Because yes, in this life, as a believer, there will come times when you don't feel like you're resting in green pastures or walking beside still waters. There'll be times when you have to walk through some pretty dark valleys. Valleys where there is death or the threat or possibility of death. Sometimes as a sheep, you could wander there on your own. We're prone to wander, just like that hymn said. Other times as a sheep, the good shepherd will lead you there himself. But if he's the one who led you to a dark valley, you have no reason to be afraid or to fear. Why? Because though the tone has changed from verses 3 to 4, from he to you, one thing has not changed. The good shepherd is still walking with the sheep, isn't he? He's still right there leading the sheep. And if you are a member of God's flock, then if times get tough, he is still with you. If you find yourself in a dark valley of sorts, he is still with you, as verse 4 promises. And he will lead you through the valley, as this verse also says. Now on the flip side, if you wandered off to a dark valley by yourself, maybe because of sin or unbelief in your life, it's not too late to turn back to the green pastures or still waters again, to go home again. Why? Because if you believe, the good shepherd is still with you. He's chasing after you, leaving the 99 behind to find the one sheep that is lost. He's working in your heart, tugging at you, nudging you, moving you to come back home where you belong, like the prodigal son who ran away and came back home. Before he could even get home, the father ran out to meet him. Same goes for you. Now take the past few months, for example. Many of us here tonight, as we gather, probably gone through or are going through some dark valleys of uncertainty with the threat of or the thought of death. But we do not have to be afraid, everyone. We do not have to fear any evil. The promise of this verse and the rest of the scriptures are still just as true today as they were before this whole COVID thing started. And as far as fearing no evil from verse 4 goes, this should not just reflect our actions, but most importantly, our attitude too. Whether it be face-to-face when we talk to people or online as you post or comment on social media, we are called to be at peace, to give peace, to shine as a light to those who are lost, to be joyful, content, satisfied. Why? Because even in these weird times, the Lord is still your shepherd, and he is still my shepherd, and he is still with you and with me as you and I go through these crazy times. He promised he would be. And every promise he makes is true and comes to pass. And even in these dark times when there's confusion, let's remember Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When people talk to you, when they listen to you or read your comments on social media, what are they seeing? What will they see? What do they hear? Will they see Christ or a Pharisee? Will they see hope or bitterness? Will they see love or fear? Will they see peace and joy, or will they see frustration and anger? I pray that each one of you tonight, and especially myself included, I pray that we would shine as a light for Christ in these dark and crazy times. And that our attitudes reflect his attitude as well too, because when you look at the world around us, people are searching for hope. There is so much fear. There is so much paranoia because of COVID and everything else that's going on. People are looking for hope. And we have a hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that we will let him shine in the darkness that is prevalent around us today. And truly, the scriptures promised us here, you don't have to fear any evil in the shadow of death, because Yahweh, the good shepherd, is with you, and nothing is going to happen to you unless he permits it. Last phrase of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the good shepherd, he has a staff. He has both a staff to guide you as you walk through the valley, and he also has a rod to discipline or correct you if you stray from the path that he is leading you on. And remarkably, it says here, both the rod and the staff are a comfort to the sheep. Why? Because they both keep the sheep from going astray. And they are also both a reminder, again, that the good shepherd is right there walking with the sheep. And again, as you go through tough times today, the Lord can and he will reveal his presence to you. He'll show you that he's there somehow, whether it be through the leading of the Holy Spirit or the conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit gives. Staff and rod. What's also neat here is that the good shepherd can also use both the rod and the staff to keep any enemies at bay that come against the sheep. He is our defender, our protector when we go through dark valleys. He watches over you and will protect you if you trust in him and in his timing and follow his leading. Moving on. Still in the third section of the psalm, the presence of evil continues in verse 5. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I love this phrase, folks. I love this phrase. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How remarkable is this? Even in the middle of the shadow of death, even in the middle of tough times, the good shepherd, he can still provide for you. He can still provide food and drink. He can provide blessings and comfort to you as if you're sitting at a table in the middle of a dark valley and in the presence of enemies. And think about this, wherever the Lord Jesus is, there is no evil or darkness in his holy presence. And you can rest and eat at the table he's prepared for you without fear, no matter who is around you. He can lead you to green pastures and still waters, even in the midst of a valley. Next phrase, you anoint my head with oil. Now, it turns out that whenever a sheep is hurt or injured, one thing that a shepherd does is they pour oil onto its head in order to soothe its wounds or its cuts. It's like providing a balm to its wounds. So guess what? If you ever get hurt or wounded while walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord will soothe you. He'll comfort you. He'll give you relief from the pain of your wounds. He sees your wounds, brothers and sisters, and he knows how to soothe them, to comfort them, and to balm them if you will just be still and let him. And what's also neat here is how oil is sometimes used in the Bible to represent the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It's neat how the word anoint, which was also used in this psalm, is also used in Acts when talking about the Holy Spirit. And in addition, what title does the Lord Jesus Christ give to the Holy Spirit in the Gospels? Comforter. So much like a sheep being anointed with oil to soothe its wounds, when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells inside us. And if you ever find yourself getting hurt or wounded after you've been forgiven and become a believer, you still have the Comforter dwelling inside you and working through you and speaking to you. And as a result, you'll be able to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And man, I tell you, this last phrase in verse 5, it really sums up everything that we've been reminded of from the very start of verse 1. My cup runs over. When a sheep goes to a green pasture, there's always more than enough food there to feed the sheep for his whole life. When a sheep goes to still waters, there's always more than enough drink there to quench his thirst for his whole life. And after everything that we have been reminded of tonight ever since verse 1, you and I don't just have everything we need for this life because of the Good Shepherd. We have more than enough because he is the Good Shepherd. Because he is your shepherd and my shepherd. Someone named Annie Johnson Flint said this: his love has no limit, his grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known to men. For out of his infinite riches in Christ Jesus, he gives and gives and gives again. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. To know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. The Lord always goes above and beyond, brothers and sisters. When he pours out his mercy and his love to us, it is always more than we could ever comprehend and far more than we deserve. Our cup truly overflows. He doesn't just fill it to the brim. He fills it till it's overflowing. Amazing. Praise God. Now quickly, verse 6, the final verse and the final section of this psalm. So to sum up again so far, title for the psalm, The Good Shepherd. Verse 1, who he is. Verses 2 to 3, what he does when times are good. And verses 4 to 5, what he does when times are tough. And now, verse 6, which I personally would title, what he does overall. What he does overall. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whether times are good or whether times are tough, the promise here is that his goodness will cover me as I walk with him in this life, and his mercy will cover me whenever I slip up in this life. All the days of my life. And after my life is over, after your life is over, what then? Well, then we have the final promise of this psalm and the last phrase of verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can only imagine what eternity is going to look like when we pass into there. But one thing that we can know with absolute certainty is that the promise of this verse will be fulfilled when we get there. You and I who believe will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever eternity looks like, we're given clues and insights in the scriptures, but whatever it looks like, the most important thing to look forward to is dwelling with our God and seeing him face to face, not having to walk by faith anymore, but by sight. And again, this verse also points right back to verse 2, doesn't it? Because as verse 2 is the promise that the good shepherd will guide you to the green pastures, which is a home, this verse is the promise that he will guide you and I to a home in the next life, too, where we will dwell forever, the house of the Lord, just like John chapter 14 said as well, where the Lord said he'd go and prepare a place for you and for me. So truly, verses 2 to 6 further explain that promise that was made right at the beginning of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack or want for anything. So in closing tonight, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is the Lord your shepherd? He may be your friend's shepherd, your spouse's shepherd, but is he your own personal shepherd right now? In other words, is he your Lord? Have you given your life over to him? The reality is that the shepherd has authority over the sheep. He's the watcher of the sheep. He's the protector of the sheep. The sheep is submissive to the shepherd. So is the Lord God the master of your life? Are you submitting to him, to his will for your life, to his calling for your life? I pray that he is the shepherd for each and every one of you who are listening tonight. Because the reality is that the promises of these verses can only be a reality to you if he is your shepherd. And one reminder that we had tonight again is that the Lord is not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He does all things well. He's also the chief shepherd, as 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 calls him. And as true as that title is, I still think the Good Shepherd is a great title to give to this psalm. Not only because of everything we're told that the shepherd does and his characteristics here, but because of what we know about the shepherd, that he is good. And what is the ultimate, and he does so much above and beyond, but what is the ultimate thing that he did that outshines any of these promises in Psalm 23? He laid down his life for the sheep. That is you and me by dying on that cross. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This is the ultimate proof and reminder for you and I today that he is the good shepherd, because he laid down his life for you and I, the sheep. So that brings us to the end of Psalm 23. I hope and pray these thoughts were great reminders and encouragements for each of you tonight as they were for me. And again, title for this psalm, The Good Shepherd. Outline, verse 1, who he is. Verses 2 to 3, what he does when times are good. Verses 4 and 5, what he does when times are tough. And verse 6, what he does overall. Thank you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again in the name of your Son, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you are the good shepherd. Thank you that you shepherd us, you watch over us, you protect us, you defend us, you lead us down the path that we should go. You keep us from going astray by trusting you, because we trust in you. Father, thank you for all the promises that you gave in this psalm, for what you do, how you have more than enough to satisfy us, how you have so many resources. You have an infinite number of resources. You know how to satisfy us. You know how to lead us to green pastures and still waters. And Father, ultimately, thank you for the fact that you gave your Son, your only begotten Son, who also called himself the Good Shepherd, that he went to that cross and died there for us, his sheep. We had gone astray. We had wandered away. And yet, you still died on that cross for us, to bring us back to you again, to make us part of the flock of God again, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for everything that you do for us. Thank you for your love towards us. Father, I pray if there's anyone here tonight who cannot say honestly that you are their shepherd, I pray that they would give their life to you at this very moment, Lord God, that they would make you their Lord and their shepherd as well. Lord, that they'd be able to say with confidence, you are my shepherd. And Father, we thank you for the promises that you restore our soul. Father, I pray that anyone here who is weary with everything that's going on, that they would come to you, call out to you, cry out to you, and be restored, Father, and be renewed with strength to keep running the race and to keep following after you as you lead the way with your staff and rod, Lord God. So Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the blessings that you've poured down to us. And thank you for this time that we've had to go through your word and be reminded that you are the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.